All right, Gospel of Luke, chapter 1 through 7. I'm reading from the New International Version. Hear now the word of our Lord. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him, and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the field nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." This is the reading of God's word for the people of God today. I know I read more than I said I was going to read, but I just couldn't help myself. I had to keep going. Well, today we continue with our Advent and Christmas series, which we are calling My Dear Theophilus, which goes to the opening of the Gospel of Luke. And we are looking for a certain truth for those who are loved by God. For those of you who have missed our previous sermons in the series, I will go ahead and fill you in a little bit. The name Theophilus is the one given as to who Luke is writing to, and the name itself means one who is loved by God. So many have looked at this. Some believe that Theophilus was an actual person Luke was writing to. Others believe that he was simply writing to all those who are loved by God, which of course we are all loved by God. And he set out to write an orderly account so that we may be certain of the truth of the gospel. And it is through the message of the gospel that we find out just how much we are loved by God. We receive a message of hope found in the coming of Christ. We find peace as we rest in the promises of God. And we find unspeakable joy that comes from our salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, it has been our goal throughout this season, as we have gone through the Gospel of Luke, to seek certainty in the truth of the gospel and carry that certainty in our hearts as we approach the coming of our Lord. As we look ahead to tomorrow, I want you to think back to when you were a little kid celebrating Christmas. I always loved Christmas growing up. I still love Christmas. It is my favorite holiday of the year, even though there's a lot of really good food at Thanksgiving. I think I love Christmas a little bit more. Christmas has always been a time of great joy. It's my favorite season out of the year. I love the music. I love the decorations. I always loved going to various Christmas parades growing up. We always looked for as many Christmas parades as we could possibly go to. Actually, the earliest Christmas parade I ever went to was when my dad and I were going camping for my birthday, and there was actually a Christmas parade on my birthday, which those of you who don't know is November 19th. So that was probably the earliest Christmas parade in the season that we ever went to. But hey, it's Christmas. You can never have too much Christmas, can you? I remember the eagerness when I would wake up on Christmas morning, and we were never allowed to go into the living room or family room or wherever the gifts were. We were never allowed to go in there before our parents got up. And when we were really little, my parents wouldn't trust us to stay in our rooms, so they would set up child safety gates in the hallway to keep us from going beyond a certain point. There were a couple years that they decided to play a little bit of a trick on us, and we could never see the tree from the gate, but the little table where we would leave milk and cookies for Santa was always right there inside the living room. And there was one year that my parents put little bags of cold bubblegum on that table. So all we could see were these little bags that said Santa's coal sitting right inside the living room. We couldn't see any of the other gifts, but we could see that. And, of course, they had a good laugh at that. And later in the day, our teeth were black from chewing that cold bubblegum. But even when we got older and my parents could trust us a little bit more, my sister and I knew not to go into the living room before our parents were up, and usually not until they had had their coffee. And so it got to be a tradition of me and my sister that even once the barriers were gone, we would pretend they were still there. And so my mom has this series of pictures of me and my sister standing up against an invisible wall, keeping us from where all the presents were. I have so many fond memories of Christmas growing up, so many memories of the excitement and the joy of Christmas. And in fact, some of my oldest memories are of Christmas time. When I first moved here, I told you that my oldest memories were of living in that little parsonage outside of Shelbyville, Kentucky. And I remember Christmas in that house, laying on the floor, playing with my new toys with my dad. I was just real little. I can barely remember anything else, but I remember the Christmases in that little house there in the middle of nowhere, rural Kentucky. It's funny how we remember these little things when we look back in life. And it's sometimes those silly little things that we remember, those things that brought us great joy, even though they had little meaning to anyone other than ourselves. We tend to idealize the past, and we forget the hard times, focusing instead on those times of joy. I think this is a gift from God, that we remember the joy and the hopeful times. And hopefully we forget the sorrow. But we always remember those little things. There are some things that we remember so vividly, and other things that we just simply forget. I was talking with my grandmother the other day, and I asked her how she was doing. She said, "Well, I can't remember much right now, except the 50s. I remember the 50s very vividly." We sometimes remember those old things in life very vividly, but other things that just seem to slip away. And it can be frustrating when we try to remember something and it's just right there beyond our grasp. And it comes to the point where if we want to remember anything, we have to write it down. And even though, yes, I'm still in my 20s, I have those days that I can't remember things, especially Sunday mornings. You tell me almost anything on Sunday morning, I'm not going to remember it later in the day or later in the week. So we write notes to ourselves. We write down those things that we don't want to forget, that we can remember them. And there are times that we seem to forget even the most important things. And those are the things that we don't want to forget at all. But you know, everyone has those, shall we call them, memory problems at times. And even looking back in history, the people of Israel had that forgetfulness. They had a problem remembering some of the really important things. The ones they even forgot where they had put the law of God. Now remember, this was before everyone had their own copy of the Bible. And the law of God was carefully written out, and it was kept in the temple where they could pull it out and they could read it before the entire people. They were supposed to do it annually. But at one time, they even forgot where they had put the Bible. It got lost. And they found it buried in a storage room somewhere. And it was like a brand new thing again. There were times in their forgetfulness, they forgot even their relationship with God. Their relationship with the God who made them, who delivered them, who set them free from slavery, and who promised them a Messiah. It's amazing to think about. There are times in Israel's history when they forgot what God had done for them. They forgot that he had rescued them from Egypt. And it wasn't even, generations later that they forgot about this. The very generation that came out of Egypt actually seemed to forget what God had done for them. He rescued them from slavery. He parted the Red Sea for them. He drowned the Egyptian army that was chasing them. And then just a few months later, they made a golden calf. They had already forgotten what God had done for them. Generation after generation, they seemed to forget the promises of God. They entered into the promised land. God delivered, or God gave them the land. And then, just a generation later, they started worshiping the false gods. False gods and Canaanites. And over the years, their forgetfulness led the Lord to need to correct them a little bit, kind of like a loving parent. You ground your children when they mess up. Well, in the case of Israel, they messed up, and so God sent someone to conquer them. Then they remembered it, and God would deliver them again. Then they mess up again. It's very short. We have short memories at times. And time after time after time of God delivering them and then them forgetting, they finally got to the point where even when they had finally learned the lesson, they lost patience in God. They lost the joy of living in their land that God had given them. And they began to forget the meaning of the words that had been prophesied so many times. We see in the Old Testament passage that was read for us earlier today, God promises that out of the son of David's family would grow a shoot, a new branch, bearing new fruit. A new king would come from the line of David. He would be the Messiah. This was God's promise to his people. That one day he would send someone who would set everything right. Who would set them free once again. But when times got tough, people forgot about this promise. They started to lose hope. Then they started to question, did maybe we get it wrong? Did we miss the king that was promised to us? Or maybe we need to do something before the king will come. There were actually those who thought that the way to bring about the fulfillment of this prophecy from Isaiah was to wage war on their enemies. This passage that was read from Isaiah for us earlier says, the wolf and the lamb will live together in peace. And yet some people thought the way to bring that about was through war and violence. How forgetful we can be. And they lost the joy that comes from knowing God. But little did they know, God was about to act. He was about to send the Savior King into the world. In fact, he actually had already done it. Just only a few people knew it at the time. Earlier in the service, Barbara read for us the Magnificat, which is Mary's song of joy. As the truth of what the angel Gabriel had told her was made real for her. When she greets Elizabeth and it's confirmed that Elizabeth is pregnant, the story that we talked about last week, Mary is filled with joy as she sings this song. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. I'm reminded of the joy that we feel when the presence of God is made real for us. In those moments, we may not be as eloquent as Mary, but we feel that joy. In Mary's song, we hear her joy. She was rejoicing because she knew that God was faithful. He keeps His promises. And He was sending that deliverer, which was promised over 700 years before this time. By the time we get to the birth of the Savior, when it was announced to the shepherds, it was announced to everyone else, Savior had already been in the world for 9 months. When we get to Christmas, we celebrate the birth of the Savior, but the incarnation happened 9 months earlier. When through the Holy Spirit, the Messiah was conceived in Mary's womb. But now He was born in humble surroundings. Born in a stable, surrounded by animals. And we're concerned if there's a little bit of dirt on the floor of the hospital. He was born surrounded by manure. It was a smelly place. But yet, in the midst of that humble and yet smelly and dirty setting, joy was brought into the world. As Jesus was born in that Bethlehem stable. And in seeing the birth of this little baby, Mary and Joseph, the shepherds, and later on the wise men, came to know the true joy from knowing our Savior, Jesus Christ. There are all kinds of songs singing about what it must have been like to look down into that precious little face and feel the joy of salvation. God sent His Son into the world to bring us salvation, to bring us new life, and yes, to bring us joy. A joy that transcends all the troubles of this life. Some of the happiest people in the world who you could ever meet, if you were given the opportunity, are those who are being persecuted for their faith. We read in the book of Acts how even in the jail cell, the apostles were able to sing with joy. And even on their way to be martyred, the early Christians sang with joy. In Christ, find the joy that transcends troubles. And yes, at times we can get so wrapped up
in what is going on that we forget that joy. I'll admit it, I forget that joy sometimes. It's easy to get wrapped up by the stress of life, to get wrapped up by all of the grief, all of the turmoil, all of the troubles that this world has to offer. And we forget the joy that we can have in Jesus. We have to be reminded. Although this world is troubled, joy can still be found in God. God is the constant in every period of time. He will never leave us to fend for ourselves. He will always be there for us if only we will turn to Him. Each Christmas, we have an opportunity to receive that joy again. We sing songs of joy, joy to the world. We sing about the glory of heaven, the joyous songs of the angels and the shepherds and Mary and Joseph. But even we have found a way to make Christmas stressful. I did the last of my Christmas shopping yesterday. Anybody still have gifts to buy? And I was on the phone with my mom, and she was stressed over finishing all the crafting things that she had to do before Christmas. We're really good at finding ways to rob ourselves of joy. But it is my prayer for each one of you that tomorrow, as we celebrate the birth of our Savior, that you will remember the joy. Be it that childlike wonder that we had when we were kids, or even better, the joy that we see in the story of Christmas. As those, all those years ago, were blessed to witness the birth of the Savior. We'll be taking a closer look at the shepherds tonight, but to remember the ending of that story, which we often just pass on over. We remember the shepherds out in the fields, the angels coming and singing, "Glory to God in the highest." We remember the shepherds going and seeing the baby Jesus lying in the manger. And we may even remember the words that Mary treasured all of these things in our hearts. But we cannot forget what the shepherds did. They had seen Jesus. They didn't just go back to their. They didn't just go, "Oh wow, that's wonderful. Now let's go back to the sheep." They went away from that stable, praising God, weeping for joy, and telling everyone about the joy of God.